Go on then, Susie, give us... why don't you start the show
yeah.
with your best John Bentley impersonation?
Oh, OK. So something like, ooh, yes, marvellous. Splendid.
Well, you're scarily good at that.
No, give us your best shot then.
Ooh! Okay. Ooh, hello. Oh, yes, marvellous.
And you have to do that sort of bobbing and weaving thing.
Yes.
Oh, I don't think we've quite got it though, have we? Would you mind giving us your best shot, please?
Hello, welcome to the Magnificent Gadget Show podcast with Susie and Jason and their special guest. Gosh, that's me.
Hey!
The authentic, it says here, John Bentley.
Really, yeah. That was really good, wasn't it?
The OGs!
Woohoo!
Oh, you see, you should be knighted. So welcome to the Gadget Show podcast with me, Susie Perry.
And me, Jason Bradbury.
And the incomparable Mr. John Bentley.
Yay! Give the applause.
Hello.
How are you doing, Sir John?
I don't know. Very well. Very good. Thank you. Yes.
Great to see you, my friend. Looking splendiferous.
Gosh. Well, that's good. And it's very nice to be here, really, in your very cosy studio. We're actually quite large studio, actually.
It's actually massive, because we're hoping to expand, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, is that why we're in such a massive room?
Well, yeah, the idea is that we get loads of Patreon subscribers, get rich, and we do it all from the Caribbean.
Oh, right. Yeah, that sounds great.
That's the game plan, yeah.
The one thing that was very positive, though, from our pilot was that people wanted to see Sir John of Bentley, didn't they?
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, welcome.
Well, I'm very glad to be here. I'm very, very flattered and honoured and all those sort of things.
Do you know what? The last time I saw you...
Yes?
..was someone did a tweet, and it was on the tube train, and it was you. And you didn't... I don't think you even knew you were taking a picture because you weren't looking at camera. You were just walking through the...
Oh.
It was brilliant.
And did you think it was about you?
That's the reason it came up on my notifications, yeah.
Yeah, but some lovely things were said about John.
No.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, I've actually got some here. Can I read them out?
Really?
Do,
oh, yes.
Please.
This is from Danny Rushton. Danny, if you're out there, good man. Great to have, or could be a female Danny, on Patreon. And Danny said, get John Bentley back. We need the whole band back together. You're not wrong.
And also Martin Ward on Facebook said, just need to get John Bentley and then we've got the whole dream team together.
Well, that's awfully kind of you, Martin, wherever you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's
you
on
can
Facebook.
Get any of these cameras, John, as I'm sure you'll be able to tell us, you know, which model of camera it is.
That's awfully kind of you, Martin.
And,
John, that's on the EOS R over there. Yes.
You should read, there you go, I told you. You should read this one. It's written in John speak after hearing the announcement that you were joining us this week. Oh my goodness, how do I say this? MP Immancook, forgive me if I've massacred your name, or however you're supposed to pronounce that, on Instagram said, John, can you see it?
I can, yes. And here it is. It's a great Scott. Bentley's in the house. Awesome. Which is awesome, he thinks, which is, again, very flattering, yes.
And it gets even better, because John isn't the only guest that we've got on the podcast this week.
That's right, Susie, because we have our first Patreon guests in the studio today, joining us on what I think should now be called the Patreon sofa. Yay! Hey, boys.
Welcome along.
Where have you all hailed from? I know one of you is from my home county of Lincolnshire. Which one is that?
Ben.
Yes.
Where are you from, brother?
Grantham.
I love it. Marvellous.
Okay, Andy?
Torquay.
Oh, Devon. Bit of Devon in the house.
It's kind of down your way, isn't it?
It
really?
Is a little
next
bit getting
neighbour
close
to Cornwall.
To Cornwall, yeah. Still slightly within sort of shooting distance of actual civilisation if you live in Devon.
Yeah.
As opposed to Cornwall, where you've got to travel 4 hours and have a time machine.
I love it
to
though, because, well, it feels like you've gone back to the 1970s.
It
down
does,
there,
and we love it.
It
for that.
Yeah, we love it.
And who's on the end?
Sean,
it's you. Hello, dude. How you doing?
good.
Great to see you. From Essex, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So we've chatted a little bit. We've got you involved. You've got some soft drinks, yeah? And anything you want, you just ask the team and we will look after you because that's how we treat the Patreon crowd.
And you can be on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you've got to do is sign up to the Patreon. And just to be clear, in case this is the first time you've listened or watched the podcast, there's various tiers on Patreon. They give you various cool stuff behind the scenes, opportunity at the top tier to come and join us in the studio. So there we go.
And that's what John Bentley did.
We love it. Good to see you, John. So how have you been, my friend?
I'm generally very well indeed. Everything's marvelous. I keep myself occupied with various bits of gadgety things, actually, one way or another, with writing about cameras and our other programme we do. So,
Which is going very well. So what have you got for us today?
Well, I, now, I thought we might start with something that is almost a bit game-changing, which is such an overly used phrase in the world.
I'm guilty of... Why are you looking at me when you say
I wasn't, I wasn't looking at you particularly. I'm guilty of it as well. But, I mean, some things in life are genuinely game-changing. I mean, for me, it was when I first tried Apple CarPlay, when I put my iPhone in the car and Apple CarPlay, popped up, and the same with Android Auto as well. That was just... that was
seamless nature of it.
Or indeed, a marvel. I got a Ninja air fryer with a cooking thing at the bottom. And
how long was it before we started talking about air fryers?
But it's not, really an air fryer, it's just a speedy one.
And quite healthy as well, which is what I like about healthy chips.
Literally the only person in the world that's never tried an air fryer.
Not yet. What are you doing? What's he getting out?
Now, what I've got here are the Hick Micro Habrok heat sensing binoculars. They're sort of full frequency range binoculars.
What?
They sense heat. They've got infrared.
No.
And also optical, all in the one unit. So,
oh my God. So you've got proper like military green.
Well, it does all that, but also it does heat sensing as well. I mean, I've found on my laptop actually, I've got some video I took in the garden.
And night vision as well.
Night vision as well, and so many things.
I never had him down for night vision, did you?
This is a hit.
Are you a prepper, John? Because that's the sort of person. Do you know what I mean? Like
I don't know what you mean. No.
All right, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, we're preparing for some disaster or something.
Yeah, have you got like a bunker, and that's why you've got the night vision in your what's-its?
It never occurred to me to have a
bunker. No. Can I just say, John, if you ever built a panic room or a Bentley bunker, I would like to be on the VIP list because I know that it would be the greatest bunker ever.
Huh.
Wouldn't it?
You'd have like a Chesterfield down there, wouldn't
they? Yeah. Yeah.
And a good fast car for an escape.
Oh, yeah. What would you have for your escape? What would be your apocalyptic escape vehicle of choice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the last time I saw somebody's apocalyptic escape vehicle was all things 1972 Vauxhall Victor FE, which I don't think would have necessarily gone...
Maybe not for the speed.
Yeah. Probably gave something quick, wouldn't you? Yes.
Well, you'd have to have something rugged, though. So something rugged and quick. How about that? So what's that...
Probably can't do better than a Defender, really. I don't want something like that.
No, you're right. No, you see, spoken like the true car... journalists. I know nothing about cars, but even I know that the benefit of a Defender is that you'll be able to find parts for it when there's been an apocalypse.
It's like the cockroach of cars.
Isn't it? Yeah. It always always works. Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Maybe that's it. But anyway, in the garden the other day.
Yeah.
Yes, what was going on in the Bentley gardens?
Well, I can show you some of the footage I shot in the garden the other day with the binoculars. And first of all, you can see there are some birds in the garden. You can see that they're highlighted in white. It's a black and white image.
So we can see the birds clearly, yeah.
Yep. And you can change the way you see them in the settings. So you can
have changing to full colour, the thermal imaging.
Yes, or you can have them displayed black or indeed as sort of red peaks of heat.
So it picks out just the birds as red.
Yes.
And the rest of the foliage, the lawn, the shed is all black and white.
Yep. And and you can switch to optical. You can see. You can hardly see.
No, in optical. So now we're looking as if you were just looking for a normal.
You can't see them.
You can't see the birds at all.
No,
and that's the point.
That's extraordinary. And can I just explain for those people listening to this podcast? Because you have both opportunities. You can watch the podcast, or you can listen to the podcast, which is a great idea. The device that John is holding and that captured that footage. I mean, they are literally no bigger. In fact, they're probably smaller than most pairs of binoculars that I would expect to see with that sort of functionality.
Absolutely. And it one half is... That's the optical side there on the left-hand side of the binocular. The right-hand side is the heat-sensing one. You focus each one with the rings at the end. And also in the middle there, there's an infrared for night vision, which you can focus using that beam there. And also underneath that is a laser rangefinder.
No.
So you can assess how far away things are.
How do you get the footage out of them?
Just click via USB-C.
So it records locally on the binoculars?
It's got about 64 gigabytes of internal memory, which is good enough for quite a lot of recording. Basically, there's six controls that operated with the fingers you normally use to hold binoculars there.
Oh, yeah, on top of the device.
It's on top of the device. Yeah, so top left, you've got an on-off button, which you need to hold down. And it boots up, and then you've got that button there is your photo and video, second button down on the left, photo and video. If you give it a long hold, it'll start recording video of basically what you're seeing. Yes. So yes, that records. Hopefully, we're at home. We're not yet.
This is what John's like when he's back at home in the garden shed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. So we're recording video.
Absolutely.
And that's to operate the rangefinder. The third button on the left, top button on the right. There, that allows you to switch between the different modes.
I hope you're remembering this.
And the modes. What modes have we got then?
Those ones when
infrared, thermal.
Try it.
Okay.
And then natural light.
I'm going to have a look at our patrons.
I want to ask you some questions about that. So obviously, we're very familiar in the world of tech to the phenomenon of military tech, military innovations that are cutting edge, sometimes top secret, bleeding down and making themselves known or available to consumer devices. But if you had told me that all those SAS adventures, the Gulf War, all of that craziness in Afghanistan would result in bird watchers being able to find whatever species they're hunting down at night, I wouldn't have believed you. Isn't that an amazing use of what is fundamentally a military technology?
Yes, but military technology has broken out into the mainstream of consumer use, which is great.
No,
really,
it's absolutely fascinating and such a good use. Can I have a?
Do you know what I'm doing? I'm just seeing which of our Patreon guests is the hottest.
Oh right,
which won't surprise you.
What a brilliant line.
Sorry.
That's why you're here. Not just that Dayglow outfit. You're here not just to look like one of Charlie's Angels. You're here for those lines.
What I've done is I've matched up with our retro leads. Look.
You're looking good, Susie.
Thank you.
May I have a go? Oh, my God. I just want it. I want this now. What I'm looking at is our guests on the sofa. And I can see them in multiple colours. Like it's that classic thermal imaging look. Right, I'm now moving to just the hottest part of their bodies, which, of course, is their face. And in this gentleman's arms, I'm able to see just them highlighted. I'm a bit colourblind, but it's red or orange. And then I go to natural, normal light, so I can see them zoomed in.
And it's the mode, it says, so automatically when it gets dark, that switches to night vision when you're in optical mode.
And the range as well.
These ones, the HIC, made by a company called HIC Micro, or Hike Micro, depending on some debate on the... And they're the Habrox.
Susie, I'll hand them over to you, actually. Can I ask you another question?
Yes.
Obviously, prices vary, but roughly ballpark.
It's about $2,750.
Wow!
The single spectrum scopes can be quite a lot cheaper. They're down to about $400 or $500.
Remarkable, John.
What amused me was I went to a talk from somebody who works at BBC as a researcher on wildlife programs and thinks these things completely have changed the whole landscape of how you find your subjects.
I was going to say,
that's
the point, isn't it? Because when you're looking at something with a natural eye or just through a normal binocular, you can't actually see what we can see there with the heat. You can pick out tiny animals that are hiding or hibernating.
Completely dark, because I've done the same in the garden at the dark. When obviously you can't see a thing in the trees, and it's
so when Jason's trying to get into your house at night time and he's hiding behind the tree, you can see him now.
Yes.
John Bentley, what else have you got in your briefcase?
Mainly
he has
one
actually
thing.
Got a briefcase. If no, you're listening,
show us the briefcase.
He's got a briefcase,
please.
He's always got a briefcase.
I'll just stop it recording for a moment.
Okay, do that.
John, are you aware?
Yes.
Most briefcase sales stopped in 1979.
Yes, I often find that when I'm watching old films, I recognise the briefcases. You don't seem to see them in the new ones, though, do you?
No.
No, strange.
I think it's because you're the only customer.
Really?
Left. Yeah, but that's not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
I'm powering down.
Okay, you are all your binoculars.
Wouldn't that be amazing if he was an AI?
He is an AI. I reckon he's the first AI.
Oh, God. That's why he looks so young.
Ooh. Anyway, moving on. What's in your briefcase?
John, what you got in there? Can you hold it up for us to see it, please? Because that is a legendary piece of
leather. There it is.
Look at that. It's not actually entirely the original one. You know, it's been replaced over the years.
What is in there?
Oh, well, that's Ilford's new colour film. They actually developed a new colour film.
For real?
Actual film?
And they actually produced it at their factory in Mobley, no less, because they never thought they could do a colour film, because the colour film requires so many coatings. Like Kodak Portra, I think, has got about something like 14 or 18 coatings. And their factory, even though it's huge, it can't produce that many coatings. But they've managed to get an extra coating onto what was just their black and white film line. all because Kodak underestimated the popularity of it, and they shut down so many of their production lines in Rochester.
They messed up so badly.
So there's been this worldwide shortage of colour film. Price has gone through the roof now, and at last we've got the incentive for people to go and get their...
Here it is. It's John, it could not be more excited.
Phoenix, it's called.
Phoenix colour film.
As in rising from the flames. As in
that sort of thing, yes.
Out of the ashes.
Yes.
But that's literally what they're trying to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I haven't tried it out yet.
Can you imagine doing a selfie and waiting 2 weeks for it to be developed down the chemist?
You used to do that for a living, though. I mean, Polaroids and everything, you know, modelling 100 years ago, it was all analogue. And I think there is something still very beautiful about shooting on analogue, listening to vinyl, isn't there?
Yes, it's part of the rich tapestry of life, and long may it continue.
And what else is coming out of the briefcase?
Talking of other analogue cameras, Fuji also launched their probably their best instant camera yet.
Isn't that a lovely bit of design, that? It is. Isn't it a very seductive-looking bit of industrial design there?
This is the Fuji Instax 99 Mini that I've been really looking forward to seeing ever since
I've
seen John with this. I've seen John looking at this, and I really wanted him to come and tell us about it. And also, let's just describe it first and foremost for anybody that's listening.
It's a square black camera about 2.5 cigarette packets in size, isn't it, I'd say?
Yeah, but it's properly square, isn't it? It's sort of a bit retro in the shape of it.
And, it's got a sort of prominent lens shape at the front, which, to turn it on, you actually turn the lens round and you have to turn it into one of three different focusing positions. It's got the normal one for about 3 or 4 metres to infinity, one a bit closer and one sort of semi-macro. Twist it round, the lens extends out the front, and then you're ready to take something. But you want to look at the different controls on the top first, because the controls on the top, there's two round knobs on top.
Yep.
The one on the user's right is the exposure control, so you can over or under expose. Probably best to start off with it in the center.
Okay.
And it'll over or under expose by 2/3 or one stop each side. The and round knob on the other side is a series of visual effects, which is initially slightly off.
FG,
which is, I think, faded green. That's faded green because what's unusual about this camera is inside there are 4 LEDs that make artificial light while you're shooting your picture, so you can get different effects on the instant pictures in an entirely analog way. The LL, for example, that's right at the end. That stands for light leaks. So you can actually do a simulation of a
leaky
light
housing. Can I just say again? Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll just go around to John. You take a picture.
No problem. What do you want? Light leaks? I think that sounds good. Just to be clear, forgive my ignorance, John. Is it digital or is it film camera?
It runs on the Instax film. It's an entirely analog that develops in about 2 minutes.
You have to look through the...
You look through the viewfinder.
Yeah. Yep.
I can see you guys.
Yes.
My goodness.
Makes the noise.
It's buzzing. Can you hear it, guys?
And the
little instant photograph has popped out. I'll hand it back to Susie.
Yep.
It'll now take a couple of minutes to develop.
Take this out.
Yes, and it should gradually emerge before our eyes.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Don't need to shake it.
So a picture's just come out. For those in case I didn't do a good job of explaining. It's a Polaroid camera, or it's not, but it's similar. And it's come out, and Susie's holding this mini Polaroid.
Instax Mini.
Instax Mini.
And depending on whether you're holding it vertically or horizontally, you get a choice of two shutter buttons.
And John, what sort of price does this fall into?
About $175.
Because it's kind of a bit of fun, isn't it?
It's a bit of fun, but also a bit of slightly premium-ish fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But you get lots of other features as well. It's got a bulb setting, so you do long shutter speeds.
The problem with that photograph is the photographer. The microphone boom arm is right in shot. And in my mind, that was a nice sort of diffused foreground, but it doesn't really come out like that, does it?
No. So this fun market of getting instant photographs, obviously it's what we used to do in the 70s, and we loved it. In fact, it was the one thing that got me into gadgets, having a Polaroid camera given to me as a birthday present. And it's that sort of instant gratification of having a photograph. But of course, you get that now on your phone. So it's got a massive competition, hasn't it? Because everybody shares their photographs and drops them and what have you, and you can instantly post them and so on. So is there still a decent market for, you know, getting physical little photographs like these and put them on your fridge or sending them to your mates or whatever?
Seemingly so, because the market is absolutely growing. The sales are going
They're going up, are they?
All the time, and that's why. And it's probably, although they don't actually officially announce it, I think it's probably their most profitable part of Fujifilm's business.
Oh, wow!
And the sales of the even the square prints, the ones that look like pens, they're up 30% this year alone.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, why do you think that is? Do you think it's because you can have this sort of physical memory of a night out or some friends, and it's quite quaint and bit of a throwback? Do you think that's the fascination of it?
I think it's also a bit of the love of imperfection in a world where everything is always perfect. Here's something that's a bit unpredictable,
and it's the rarity,
a bit analog, and is also unique.
Maybe. That is such a good photograph. I could be like 20 in that shot.
Thank you.
I've got a wife. I know what to say.
Finally, John, have you saved the best till last?
Well, I do have something else in my briefcase, which I've been sent, but I haven't tried yet.
Oh, we can unbox. We can do the unboxing.
Yeah, live.
What's your experience of selfie drones been?
Oh, not good.
Can I be honest with you? I've got a bit of a penchant for selfie drones. Mm. I've tried two or three over the years. I remember being in Bali and having one over a swimming pool. And I wanted to get a really good shot. The thing ended up in the swimming pool. They're never stable enough. They never built ruggedly enough to sustain falling, and the picture quality is normally rubbish.
Apart from that, brilliant. So what have you got for
Well, I have high hopes for this one, because I'm hoping that it's going to make things better. It's called the Hover Air X1.
Open the white box
here, and it is a compact, about the size of a large smartphone, actually.
Look at that.
It's a it sort of unfolds.
So it's like a sort of looks like a bit Meccano-esque,
yeah, it's got
doesn't
like a
it?
Cage
grid,
the four
yes.
Props, isn't
looks
it?
Quite cool.
The props are all completely enclosed, and there's a sort of central bar there in the middle with all the workings in it. And what you should be able to do is put it on your hand.
Here we go.
This is what you should be able to do.
Press the switch. Switch it on. It'll sense it's on your hand.
Continue. Hover. Oh. Here we go. Come on.
Come on. Get
yes. Look at that.
So it's hovering.
That's cool.
Now, it doesn't have collision avoidance. The light's gone red, so I assume it's recording.
Internally.
So just do a little piece to camera, John, for us.
Yeah, this is the Hover Air X1, and it's giving it a first test for me in our studio in Digbeth in Birmingham, and it seems to be holding position.
Holding well, and it's quite noisy. I mean, you can obviously hear the whirring sound of it hovering. But it is actually...
It's tracking his face in real time.
I feel my face is being tracked.
It really is, because as you move about, it moves almost instantly.
Not up and down, though. It's mainly in it.
Well,
when
you
holding
stand
its height.
Be mindful you've got headphones on, but if you stand up, is it going to...
Yes!
I've got to say, so far, I am super impressed.
It looks really stable. Just land it now so we can stop the noise. How do you do that?
I just put my hand underneath it.
Okay, let's have a look. Hand underneath. Will it land?
Hey,
nicely in the palm of John's hand.
Bravo.
I think I should give it to the expert in selfie drones for an expert opinion.
I would say I'm an expert at crashing them and destroying them. So let's see if this one eludes my efforts. Should we see if the follow
Yes,
mode
just try it in those other modes. Yes.
I'll tell you what, why don't you go over there into some space and give it a little test. Put the follow mode on.
Follow mode.
And see if it works.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so follow mode, when I've had previous iterations of this sort of technology by other manufacturers. Follow. Oh, that was it. You hear it?
Follow.
Okay, right. It's never worked this, so whether it works now or not will be an absolute miracle. Okay, so imagine that I'm on holiday. I'm on the beach! This is what I wanted! Welcome to the beach. Over there is a couple of saucy bathers. There's the ice cream man over there, and I'm just walking along on my YouTube channel, with 3 followers, doing a piece to camera, and I can't believe it actually worked. This is what I wanted with all the other versions of this technology that have never worked. And there's beams here, although I'm aware that there is no collision avoidance, so hopefully this works. It's found my height, 6'2", and it's focused on my face, and the facial tracking is tracking me, I mean, perfectly, assuming that the stabilization on that camera, the gimbal, works as well as it looked when we were sat down there with Susie, then this should be quite a good shot. I'm going to come over here because it's a rather low beam. In fact, this is generally where things go wrong. I'm going to try and bring it back to the gang. I'm bringing her over. So that's it from me, Jason, here on the beach.
I'm back on the in the studio now, and I'm bringing the drone over to some other expensive equipment, this camera, courting disaster. Ooh. I'm going to run over here, ooh, and then over here.
Oh, hello. Oh, look at that.
There we go. Hello, I'm over here.
It actually speeded up then to catch up with Jace when he moved quite quickly.
I think it's maybe on your, is it on your face now?
There we go.
There
you come.
There he is.
Over we come.
I tell you what, that's impressive.
That is good. Mm. You know what? If it wasn't so noisy, look.
Should I try and land
it? Went down.
I know. Oh, that worked absolutely beautifully.
I am so impressed. I am so impressed with that. I would buy one of those. I know it's expensive, but...
But it works.
You're so good, John. Mm. You're so good. You've nailed it.
I think it's more one for you than me. I think you get more use out of it.
Would you like a bit of Susie nonsense here?
Yes.
Oh, good, John. Mm. I like the enthusiasm of John.
He's lovely. He's a lovely, enthusiastic man. I'm good.
Right. Are you ready for a bit of
I'm slightly perturbed.
Are you worried? this is the Prinker. It is a digital tattoo machine.
So
it's the first home tattoo machine, and we're going to give it a go.
Oh, my God, that's an amazing idea.
Yeah. So it sits on this dock, basically. That's how you charge it. That's how it works.
Right.
And it obviously syncs up to an app, which has got about 12,000 designs. Or you can invent your own design.
Just 12,000?
Just the 12,000 to kick you off with. So there's plenty of choice. You know, and it's the kind of stuff that you'll see on Pinterest or whatever when you Google tattoos. Have you got a tattoo?
No.
I'm thinking you haven't, John.
No, I've always resisted it.
I've got a couple of tattoos.
Ooh.
I'll show you one of them. That one.
Where's the other one?
See, none of your business. So I've got a couple, but I just thought that you need to catch up and you guys should also have a tattoo.
I love it.
Okay.
I'm mad for it.
So it's quite simple. So I've actually chosen...
I was going to say, I'm not going to get to choose, am I?
I've chosen one for you. Where do you want it? Shall I do it on your head?
On my head?
It washes off. It just wash off.
Yes. How can I resist you? So, it's flattering, right?
How can I resist... Yeah, no, it's flattering.
You're kidding.
No, just close your eyes. Just a bit of primer spray.
What have I signed up for?
I've prepped it already, so you just press your button.
Rose-tinted water.
That's it. That's all it is. Just make sure I'm doing this right.
That's the...
What?
I know I'm not supposed to, but I just caught sight of it. It's made me laugh.
I'm sorry. He's lost it. I think you might have guessed what I'm doing. Okay, so listen. So what I'm doing is I'm pressing the button now on the Prinker, and it's just thinking... Right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. It's definitely flattering, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Relax,
is it like
relax,
a cool
relax,
one?
Relax.
It's like a cool one, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if there's...
Oh, no.
What's happened? What's going on? Is it cool? Do I look like a gangster? Is that...
I'm so sorry.
But this isn't... Listen, when I imagined the getting a tattoo, this isn't the reaction I was looking for.
I can't read it.
What's it say?
Can we wash this off and start... Can we wash this off? I've lost the plot. Hang on.
You promised me it looks cool, yeah?
No, relax. Relax. Lean forward.
You can't again. Stop.
I can't.
What are you doing to me?
I can't. It stops automatically. It's because of the shape of it. Tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Third time lucky.
Yeah.
I'm going to have another go.
Do you want a different part of my body?
Yeah. Can I do it on should I do it on the back of your head?
The back of my head?
Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, for God's sake.
Turn around. I think it might... And what I need is a bit more space, you see, for the fluidity.
You've definitely got that.
I need the fluidity. That's the problem. So hang on.
That's flat. That's my crop circle on the back.
Oh, stopped again. Wait.
Oh, my God.
Just stay here. Just stay here.
I'm being defaced.
Yes. I've got it. I've done it. It looks amazing.
Does it look cool?
It looks
so
cool.
Is it like gangster?
And also, I think the build-up, yes. I think showing your workings at school at art was always the thing they wanted. How did you get there? So what I've done with the tattooing is I've showed the workings.
No, but the thing is, what I wanted, I want people to get... my image, in my mind, when I thought about having a tattoo, was I go in and people like, there's a guy in the barista and he's making my coffee. He goes, yeah, cool tat, man.
Yeah.
Like that. Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly what they're going to do. 100%. Look, 100%. Ooh. And it's so true. John, what do you think?
I... I don't.
John, would you like one?
Not really, no.
So can you just tell me what's on my head, please? Because I had faith initially.
Right.
And now I'm starting to wonder what you popped on there.
Well, it was a bit of payback for the original pilot when you called me a knobhead. Do you remember when I was running around with the headphones on?
Yeah.
I said, do I look cool? You said, Suze, you look like a right knobhead.
You look like a total knobhead.
So I used that word.
Okay.
So I basically the word is four times on your head in various different guises. So
I love it. I love it. Right. Well, that is it. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of the Gadget Show podcast. I've had an absolute ball, and it's in no small part down to you, young man. If you like what you've seen and or heard, then you can grab the next episode of this here podcast right away if you subscribe to our Patreon. Okay, you can watch the next episode immediately. That's one of the advantages of being a member of the team.
But John, what can we say? It's been marvellous.
Oh right, I've had a splendid time. Yes, really lovely. Oh.
And a massive thank you to our lovely Patreon crowd over there, to Sean Anthony James, Ben Thatcher and Andy T. Thank you for coming along. Thank you for being good sports.
And as we say goodbye, we want to give a quick shout out to our latest Patreon mid-subscribers. And Susie, John and I reckon we should do this in the style of the iconic Gadget Show competition. Do you like that? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, ready when you are, Jace.
Okay.
Roger Wilco standing by, Sergeant Bradbury.
Okay, so it's goodbye from us three for now, and here comes the list.
Okay, hello to Keith Golding, Darren McCracken and Thomas Nardini.
Gadgety felicitations to Ethan Hughes, John Forstick and Chris Hadlow.
And we salute Adam Lechamp, Philip Eddington and Richard Allen.
Hello, boys, to Philip Hoy, Richard Wykes and Grant Skeen.
And thank you for your support to Danny Rushton, Matt Howarth and Gareth Ross.
Well
and
done, guys.
That's it. That's all we've got
brilliant.
Time for.
I love that idea of doing a Gadget Show competition style sign-off. Thank you all. It's been absolutely brilliant. John,
yes.
You're a superstar. Okay, great having you in the studio, sir.
Lovely to be
ladies
here.
And gentlemen, John Bentley. Ooh, oh.
Thank you. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.